Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Demora. I am Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, today we are talking about suicide and the correlation between suicide and the malfunction of chakras. Obviously, when someone commits suicide, there's probably a deeper issue in the chakra system, which we're going to be in just a moment, but we want to encourage everybody to join us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay connected to our updates regarding shows and our schedule. We also have a Facebook and Twitter account where we post our shows and create events, so we would love to have your friendship there, or for you to like Neil Baker Psychic page. There are two Facebook pages. One can be found via the other. Neil's number 562-596-7818. That's the way to get a hold of him directly. And Neil, how did we come up with this show today? What prompted us to talk about suicide? I don't even remember.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I've dealt with suicides are literally ghosts because they stop their energy on the earth and they're in a very bad position.
They kind of get stuck between.
Stuck, and we'll go into that.
Right.
But at least this psychic, myself, has dealt with a number of ghosts, if you will, people who have committed suicide and have crossed over, so to speak, but they're locked between dimensions. And in that regard, I've had these connections with them because they are desperate and confused. And I mean, we'll go into more details about it. So it's always been something in my life that I've experienced in terms of dealing with the other side. I get a lot of people who commit suicide, and they're not hard to see in the astral realm because they are so vividly locked between worlds. And the content of their earthly existence is so much in their energy field that they're not hard to see. And so I have seen them, witnessed their actions, and spoken to them. So I don't know. It's a running theme with me. I don't know what initially brought this on. Oh, you know, there was something about Robin. We were looking at...
we were doing research for the book. I was doing research for the book yesterday, looking up suicides.
Yeah.
And different... We're not going to get too much into what I was looking at because that's for the book. But
yeah.
I was making notes and trying to look at different chakra themes, essentially, related to the reasons for suicide, the time of suicide, things like that. So that's what inspired us, I think, to do the show.
Yeah. Suicides have a general pattern that is already embedded in the birthday coach. We're not going to get into that.
Not today.
Our book.
But it was remarkable when I started. Yeah. I only took a sampling of suicides, and they were very random from well-known people that actually did kill themselves. And it was like multiple levels. Very, very interesting. So it's exciting that we're going to be able to talk about this in the book, but we are somewhat limited on the show.
Yeah, we won't discuss the matter of the numerical implications in a birth date that adhere to suicide cases uniformly almost, but aside from that, that's what sort of prompted this. And I believe, you know, in many of my readings, when I'm doing a reading, spirits will come in, many of them human beings, the human spirits of human beings, souls.
Souls.
And so there might have been something, I don't know, it's just not for our purpose of our show.
Right. The show is not about why we chose the topic that we're not going to talk about.
Yeah.
Filling our 15 minutes with that. But essentially, Neil, in examining these birth dates and looking at these people, the reasons why they committed suicide, what's clear is that there can be a disruption in any chakra system that causes someone to...
Well, the voidness, if you will, of life, the emptiness of life, the despair of life is not something we just manifest as we live. In other words, there's a prior journey that the soul is on. So by the time we get to the earth again, meaning our lifetimes and this lifetime, we're already carrying baggage. And that baggage is embedded in our birthday code. Where if you know how to read codes, you can actually see some of the baggage of past life journeys in the birthday.
Right, and we were talking about this last night when we were preparing for the show, that one discussing if the suicide element comes into someone's life fresh or if there is something that's already coded in their energy for this to become possible, a possibility. Because I'm assuming that there are certain individuals that probably have very little risk of actually committing suicide. So there's a past life history of some kind of action in that regard.
That's true. There is baggage in a past life which ensures that you won't commit suicide, that you're going to be strong, that you're stable.
Exactly.
And then there's baggage that says you're prone to it.
And you've
got to be very careful. And then thirdly, we can create suicide out of one lifetime. In other words, it may not be in the energy field of our past lives, but we do, in essence, have the ability in life to choose. And people who either backslide or who are on a roll and they, for some reason, trip in a lifetime, for want of a better word, and choose suicide, sometimes it's a matter of immediate choice without a history behind it. So, and that gets really difficult. Now, that's more rare because if you're a human being that's evolved through lifetimes, in between lifetimes, you see how ludicrous it is to commit suicide. It just doesn't fit with the journey of the soul. So every time you die and you gain your classroom criteria about what you're going to do in the next lifetime, the theme is you grow with knowledge. You don't decrease with knowledge unless you're stuck or you there's some kind of lower energy you just can't transcend. So those people who come into the earth without a abundance of karma that involves despair and depression and hopelessness, it's more rare for those people to experience despair, hopelessness, depression in their given lifetime because they've already worked through the energies to and have attained the goals. To help them through matters of stress. And so they're just stronger due to a past life energy. Now, once in a while, someone can be very strong in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, let's say the second chakra is a little weak. They have a relationship weakness thing going on. And they come to the earth, everything else is fine, but they have a devastating relationship problem.
Which often is the case in suicides. It's very common.
So they don't really carry the baggage of anything per se about suicide, but they have a weakness in the relationship department. And if that should suddenly crumble in a very hard way in a lifetime. Suicide can enter that zone like an uninvited guest.
Right.
It can enter that zone and voila, there's suicide. And it's like people say, you know, they were so vibrant. They were so life-giving, but they fell apart in this relationship and they killed themselves. And that's sometimes when suicide is not a prerequisite of a past life journey. It's a result of something in a chakra system that fell apart and collapsed the whole structure. So you can have a situation where suicide can come in immediately as a choice, even though you can examine that. Well, maybe
rather than a past life karma being reignited, essentially.
Yeah, reignited or carried along with you. A lot of people come in already depressed.
Right.
And prone to it, and they're just round energies in a world of square pegs. They can't find that energy to fit into, and they feel misplaced. And anyways, some people commit suicide because they get a sentence from the doctor that
right.
they have a devastating disease,
the illness, and they don't
illness,
want it to come to that in a slow and painful way.
Once you cross over from having committed suicide, there are different degrees as to how the soul is going to be working through that issue. But for the most part, when you commit suicide, I mean, you're destroying your body. And when you commit suicide, you automatically lock yourself into time, meaning that you don't even know what day it is, what year it is. You're just locked in time. You have no really reference towards time. And you're kind of between two worlds. You're in the physical realm. And in that realm, you can see the people you left behind. You can see the consequences of what's happening. Sometimes you do see your own body, but sometimes you're thrown out of your body. You've destroyed the body. So you don't even understand that you're not out of the body. It's very hard sometimes for suicides, souls, to know where they're at. I've seen suicide souls, when they committed suicide, they see their body right there and they desperately try to get back in. They can't. The cord is broken. And then there are
the silver cord. Cases. And you can refer to our last show, What is the Silver Cord?
Yeah.
To find out what that means. But so once the cord is severed, it's done.
You can't. It's done. But then there's the aspect that people commit suicide, the body's gone, they don't see the body, they don't have that privilege, I guess, of saying they don't see the body, and they're just locked. They're locked in a time zone that they have little control over. So now what they are considered is a ghost. Ghosts are basically speaking human souls
that are wandering.
The
astral plane that's on the earth.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And now they have, and the problem is they have to wait because they're out of their journey. Yeah.
So there's a plan in terms of how long a human life will be once you come down to the planet. You have an expiration date, essentially. And if you should end your life or your life is ended due to means that shouldn't have occurred and because you've awakened to karma.
Yeah.
Then you're stuck until the duration of your life
is over.
Except
people will say, well, you know, there are ghosts from the 18th century, the 17th century.
Right.
Those people who killed themselves had multiple crimes. And so it's like someone who's given eight consecutive life sentences. Your normal physical life is over, but maybe you've had seven or eight past lives that have become part of your suicide path. And so you're bound to the earth, so to speak, for many lifetimes over and over and over again, especially suicides that have committed suicide after having committed massive acts, heinous acts.
Heinous against other individuals, like murderers or whatever.
Yeah. These people who kill people and then they shoot themselves in the head, they're going to be around for a long time. But it's, and there's a pain. There's a spiritual, it's not a fit, it's a physical pain related to a soul, the element of a soul pain, but it's correlated to like a physical pain. And that that is something that they can control. So they wait, which can be painful, and they are having all kinds of problems in that regard. Was there anything you wanted to address?
Although the fact that we just dropped everybody on the inner queue suddenly, which is strange. But anyway, you can go on, Neil, because...
Can we be heard?
I don't know.
You want to see if anybody can hear us before we...
Well, I can unmute the button here. This is very strange. Well, let's bring on... Deanna just called back. I want to know if she's knocked off here. Let's bring her on real quick. Hi there.
Hi.
I can hear us in the background. So.
Yeah, it's not you that you're hearing. I just walked back in, and it disconnected, so I called you back.
So you guys, it disconnected everybody in our queue, actually, simultaneously.
Wow.
So it's very strange.
But I didn't,
you didn't initiate the disconnect, right?
No. I was walking into the house with my hands full, and all of a sudden it disconnected. So I thought, maybe I did this. So I called back right away.
Very interesting, great.
What you've been saying, doesn't make one feel very well knowing that when you can no longer tolerate the pain, then you're going to be doubly punished by wandering in the Netherlands.
Yeah, well, yes, agreed.
What was that?
She's saying that it doesn't make her feel very good that you're going to get doubly punished by having, becoming so desperate that you're not able to live on the planet, and then you get further consequences once you commit that act. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, unfortunately.
I mean, that's what I've experienced from my view of looking into the astral realm and talking with these souls and witnessing, even when they can't articulate, I mean, these words, articulate, vibrate messages back to me, viewing what's there. I imagine, Deanna, that there are cases where people commit suicide, and those cases, the soul went to another realm, and maybe they're being comforted in some other realm. But those aren't necessarily the ones that I've experienced. So I'm not saying that I'm speaking for all suicide cases. I'm only saying that I'm speaking for the ones that I've witnessed, and there's been plenty of those. So is there a place where a person who has committed suicide can go where there's... I can't really say that, but I suppose it's a mystery that's yet to be solved. So it's a possibility.
But you're saying, according to your experience as a psychic, Neil, that's not something you've seen ever.
Yeah, it's like saying, you know, you put a gun to your head and you blow your brains out. What's the chances of surviving? For the most part, none. So what's the chances of surviving a sort of judgment area upon suicide? Not a very large percentage that I know of. I personally wouldn't experiment with it.
And I'm sure as Deanna has experienced.
It's okay. It's Deanna.
It just slipped out of my mouth incorrectly. I apologize. I don't know why. But I'm sure she's been exposed to other teachings in the spiritual community that state that, you know, there's grace and forgiveness and it doesn't matter and you're finally home in heaven and God's embracing you with open arms. I've seen that too, you know, as far as other people's teachings, but, you know.
I don't want to chip away on God's love and compassion. That's not my purpose. I don't want to chip away on that. And I can't say that is a possibility. But like I said, I can only express what I've witnessed. The individual that commits suicide, I mean, they're even aware of the pain that they have caused upon leaving to others. Now, people who readily know that they're going to die if they rush in to save somebody, people who sacrifice their lives knowing they will die, that's different.
That's heroism. It's,
that's
obviously
a very different,
totally different
situation. But
there's an image that comes to mind from the movie that Robin Williams, What Dreams May Come.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And yeah. That image has remained ever so intense in my head ever since I saw the movie the first time. I even wondered how he went ahead with it after having played in that movie. And he does have his input, or he did have input into what he did. You know, he would just didn't follow the script. So that movie stayed with me. And the thought of finishing, you know, our mission on Earth, though it's been in my mind many times after going through so much trauma for 7.5 years, I never went ahead with it, but I was shocked when he did.
Well,
you know, there might have, there's questions. Did he have some disease of the brain? Was there some
He had Lewy body dementia, which is supposed to cause paranoia and disorientation. He was, according to the official reports, he was not acting normally. He was hiding watches in a sock. So that could have been an influence. I think there are other influences. You know, we have, I mean, differing views on what actually happened.
When we get into go ahead.
I think it's more the Parkinson's, the fear of Parkinson's and being seen that way, completely out of control of himself, that scared him to that point, if that's actually what happened.
If it's actually what happened. You know, his death actually was, his suicide was on, is depicted on the television show The Family Guy, and this show aired right before the news of his suicide was broadcast, which I find strange. I don't know if you're aware of that, but anyway, I find it significant.
Now, Deanna, I mean, for the benefit of the doubt, there is some souls that commit suicide under, maybe that, you know, they know they're going to die. Richard Farnsworth, the actor, he knew he had a, he was in his 80s, he knew he had a disease, bone cancer, and he shot himself in the head. Maybe Robin Williams did have a disease of the brain. Now, some souls are privileged enough to, upon suicide, to go to a kind of classroom. And in that classroom, they begin to understand the consequences of their act, and they start to prepare in a more gentle way the transition to coming back to Earth and how they're going to continue where they left off. Now, that may mean that they come back into the planet almost immediately or at some point in time, and they are going through life-threatening situations as babies. Maybe they're going through rough childhoods. So these are aspects that, you know, even people like Stephen Hawking, we have to understand that we sometimes return to the planet in the way we left. And if the way we left was not completed, then there's an intermission, and then we come back and continue where we left off. So that sometimes is the position that suicides experience upon coming back without having gone through the horrendous act of waiting.
Right. I was reading actually after we did all our conversation last night about suicides and that very statement that you can come back just how you left the planet. And I was reading about a baby who was diagnosed at 16 months with Lou Gehrig syndrome.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, is this what occurred in this child's past life? Some kind of death from suicide or?
Yeah. It's considered a karmic balance and completion. If you cut your karmic responsibilities off, then it's evaluated. The content of your life and how you killed yourself is evaluated. And if it's deemed that you can return, but you must carry on from where you left off, it doesn't matter if you're a baby. The soul in the baby is carrying the responsibility of the previous lifetime. And that's where it starts. And then a lot of people who overcome their physical handicaps in the beginning of life, well, they've transcended any concept of incompletion, and they've done miraculous things. So we admire those people who overcome the odds and move forward with flying colors. These are people who have transcended tragedy, not only in their immediate life, but in their past life accumulation of energies.
It's sort of like you're in a rehearsal or you're in a play, but if you check out, it was your rehearsal and you have to come back to be in the play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true, Diana, because, you know, we have to play out our role. We have to play out the game.
Right, we're here to reduce karma, and if we fold, we haven't reduced the karma. In fact, we've created more karma, so that compounds our journey.
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Please keep me in your prayers, because it's a very difficult week for me, and the subject matter, you know, plays into it as well.
Okay, well, we will certainly keep you in our prayers, Diana. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, we've got Maddie, who's been knocked out of the queue like 4 times. I don't know what's going on. What's going on?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Neil. Your name faded out of my mind for a second, Neil. But, Neil.
Wait, I'm sorry. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Not that well. Are you there?
Hear me now?
It's better. Very faint, but what were you saying?
No, I was saying I was trying to think of Neil's name. It faded out of my mind for a second. I got your name, Chris. But my question is, hello?
Hi.
You listen to the show. I had a daughter that was born with cerebral palsy, and I thought, wow, maybe that's why I thought about what came to mind is maybe that's she came back the way that she left out the last time.
Wow. What's your daughter's birthday, Maddie?
Her daughter's birthday is she's no longer now, but her birthday is May 1473.
Wow, I'm really sorry about that.
Yes, she made her transition some years ago. But it's just a thought that came to my mind. Listen to the dialogue about leaving out and coming back the way that you left out.
But yeah, one more question. When did she die? What year? Do you know?
91.
Wow. So she was 17.
She was 18.
18. So it was after May. Okay.
Yes.
So sorry.
I thought, wow, I never looked at it that way. Wow, I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Understanding is so important. But I wanted to ask Neil about a friend who I'm a little disturbed with. He called me yesterday, and he said, I watched the program on Saturday evening and met him tell you I was so disturbed by it. And I say, why? He say, don't you say a word. Don't you say anything. I'm letting you know this is a duplicate of you and your daughter. And I say, and he said the trailer was about how a grandmother took over her grandchild because the daughter of the grandmom was abusing the child. And I say, what are you talking about? Give me some clarity. Don't you say a word. If you say, I'm going to hang up on you. And I thought, mm-mm. So what I did, I called him back, and he didn't pick up. I said, and we've been talking for years, just a friend. I said, Bob, I say, why? What are you talking about? You left me hanging, confused. Why are you so angry, upset? And I thought about it. I said, you know what? Spirit spoke to me and said, no, it has nothing to do with you. Something hit a nerve in him, got him all upset. And so I'm going to give Neil his birthday, April the 10th, 1939.
April 10th?
4-10-39.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
26-8. But it's so hard to hear that I'm not totally. Are you following?
Not really.
It's very hard to hear you. So
wow.
If you could
I don't know what's going on.
if you could, I don't either. If you could condense the question about the friend, there's some there's some discord in relation to what?
He said he watched a program and it disturbed him. And
what
he,
program?
It was a program Alania Levant on Oprah show. You know, she fixed my life. And he said it was a program about a grandmother taking over a child because the mother was abusing the child. And he pointed fingers at me that I was a recipient of that. He was a duplicate of that. And
oh, you mean a duplicate of the woman on the show that was abusing the grandchild? He was attacking you because he compared you to this woman on the show, and this caused a fight between the two of you. So specifically, disagreement.
But no, he wouldn't let me say anything. He said, don't you say a word. If you say anything, I'm going to hang up on you. And that's exactly what he did. And I called back and say, I think it hit a nerve in you. It was about his childhood, I believe.
I see. So your question exactly pertaining to this is what?
My question pertaining to that, I was giving Neil his birthday and see if Neil would see, if he could see what this man really feels about me.
Okay. So what the man really feels about you?
Well,
we've got the birthday, 4/10/39.
You know, there's
okay,
a
that's it, yes.
Maddie, there's a correlation between this man's birth date and your daughter's birth date. Now, the first two numbers of this man's birth date are 4 and 1, but inverted, that is the day your daughter was born. Now, the
not the daughter that passed on. He's speaking of the daughter that's living now.
But that's still significant. It doesn't matter if the daughter in question is alive. Yeah. It's a different daughter. This relates to the whole tribal family unit. So his relationship is going to be related to this daughter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know I'm referring to the daughter that's passed on, but I'm going to draw a correlation between his birth date and her birth date, even though she's not the topic at hand. I want to just enlighten you with something first.
All right, thank you.
His first two numbers are 4 and 1. That's inverted the day your daughter was born. Now, the years that they were born line up. In other words, your daughter's 7 to his 3, and the year is 73. And that's the year she's born. Your daughter's 3 to his 9 is 39, and that's the year he was born. So what this is that both your daughter and this man, for some reason on a cosmic plane, their actions are here to also teach you something. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, some lessons are false, some are true, some are harsh, and some are sublime and pretty and all that. But you know, he comes with a certain sense of dark energy, this fellow. He's born
I picked up on that, but I just kind of let it go, and you know. But I really have picked up on that. Yes.
Yeah, he's born on the 10th. And not only that, but you know, your daughter's master number was 3, and his master number is 9, which is 39, the year he's born. So I believe that he comes from a past life, Maddie. And he comes in an accusatory way. Sometimes even family members can accuse each other of doing something that they didn't do, and yet the poison of the person's attitude can destroy a life. So siblings can fight, mother and daughter, father and son, sister and sister, brother and sister, people within the same family can fight and have such animosity towards one another. In fact, to the point that there are lies being spread that they can destroy life. I think that this guy is from a past life and he's still carrying an accusatory sense of darkness in his soul that he's throwing on you as a guilt trip.
Thank you. Oh my! Thank you, because I think I'm gonna let him go. I think people come into your life, and I think I'm gonna let him go because I've seen some things that he have done to people that was very nasty for no reason.
Yeah.
It was like out of nowhere, you know, and I think I'm definitely gonna have to let him go. I felt that darkness. The things that he would say, and very, very controlling.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the healthy path is to let go of darkness and to let go of people who are very negative. Sometimes that's healthy. You have to evaluate it. You have to evaluate it and then make your decision, Maddie. But I hope that's going to help.
Okay, Maddie.
It has helped me a lot. You have no idea, but I think you don't see it has to do with his childhood, because
the dynamics that he brings also into this life are part of the equation. Yes, so it's just not past life. It's also the dynamics, the circumstances of one's current life that also adds to the general picture.
Okay, so what he felt watching that show, it triggered something inside of him about his childhood.
Yeah, that's a very valid equation, yes,
and
to factor in.
And from what it looks like, he probably did have a difficult childhood.
Yeah, well, that's
he
the
did.
Problem.
He did. He told me some things about his childhood, yes.
Yeah, it appears
that
way.
Yes.
You know, you let go and you pray for him and you let go and you move on. That's healthy, too.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay,
thank you,
Maddie. Thank you so much.
Oh, God.
Sorry you
thank
got
you.
Disconnected.
Have a great
day. That was fine. You too. Okay, well, we are out of callers, Neil.
Well, we
had several people drop.
Oh, really? Well, we can go about 5 more minutes, and then if nobody shows up, we can pack it up.
All right.
So we were talking about the attitude of suicide and also how sometimes, you know, there are those people who attempt suicide and fail, attempt and fail, attempt and fail. What about those people? Well, those people, in my estimation, have already committed suicide in past lives.
Right.
They
and
made
they're
a
just
pact with themselves not to do it again. So it's the soul's attempt to
preserve
the
life of that person.
Exactly. To preserve the life of the person. And so, and it's important because once you cut that cord, the definition as to how it was cut, whether it was natural or unnatural, an accident or a self-inflicted action, that's going to be recorded. That gets absorbed into the soul, and the soul's journey carries within it all of the histories it has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're reading souls, we're just not reading one lifetime in the soul. We're reading many lifetimes in the soul. And if there's heavy burden on the earth, imagine there's very little room to transcend until that burden is relieved. And that's why we sometimes attempt to help a soul on the other side. People say, well, we got to help them cross over. You know, the relationship between the earthly presence and the soul presence on the other side, I always want to support the idea of help, altruism, prayer, that kind of thing. So, it probably wouldn't hurt the soul to experience us as human beings trying to help and assist them, but as to how successful we will be, is a matter beyond our capability. It may be successful, it may not, but the attempt is real.
All right, Neil. Well?
Well, we're out of callers. We can let it be a shorter day.
We can let it be a shorter day. We did have some people come in, but they dropped. So, you know, sometimes I know that people get impatient, want the readings right away. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't get to callers until a certain point. Or a certain amount of time has elapsed, because, you know, this is also about education and teaching. So hopefully
those who are tuning in are benefiting from the instructional portion of the show.
Absolutely.